Victoria and Tony, the Seven, the Veil. Queen Victoria woke up in Redfern in Sydney, perusing a street mural in which Tony Abbott was depicted marrying a version of himself, in veil and low-cut gown. The veil indeed reminded her of her own when first married, but her bosom, she thought, was far superior to this one. As he stood beside her, she said, "I've never understood, Sir Anthony, why, if one takes the trouble to shock convention with the suggestion of nakedness, one does not make it appear more attractive." He agreed, "I certainly don't fancy myself in that outfit, particularly the stubble on the breasts. But this is all about gay marriage. I have been vocally opposed to it, and this painting doesn't make it seem attractive, although apparently it is in favour of it." She said, "Dear knight, it is not about the attractive, but the inevitable, and in this case the ineradicable. When I was very young, I consented to a bill outlawing homosexuality, but did not let it include women, as that act between women seemed to me physically impossible. I am always very grateful for such innocence. The good spirit of the universe does not let it blunder too far wrong." He asked, "But the ineradicable?" Her hair in the red fern alley had the same smooth lustre as her watchful eyes. She said, "It is sex that is ineradicable, not marriage. I have often thought that why it is done, apart from the need for pleasure or children. It is our tightest rein on history. Once it happens, there is no redefinition beyond that." The artwork stood crude and indelible before them. In it he had a circumspect, subtle bridegroom face, another, more entranced one, as the bride. He had to ask her, "Apart from Albert, ma'am, were you in love with John Brown?" He understood suddenly that history is not a reliable antidote for jealousy. She was still studying Sir Anthony walled up in the dress. She said, "John Brown, being a good Scots gilly, did wear a kilt when he accompanied me. There is something ineradicably irresistible, certainly, in meeting the rest of a man after his knees. He had fine knees, at once exploratively sensitive and double-jointed. He reminded me often of the trees." Tony said, "A dress is not a kilt, however. I believe that my dear sister, who is married to a lady, thinks that my beliefs in marriage between man and woman underpinning society are stylized and brittle." Victoria seemed little, as she did in paintings of her, but still solid with a special optimistic sexuality. She said, "Sir Anthony, if you were a woman and married one, it would not matter to anybody's social underpinnings. You are saying something else here, whatever it may be." It was spring in Redfern, smelt like harbour, settled cellars, and he said, "I want intuitive communion, I think, with those like me who need their privacies to govern. There's nothing left for me but the implacable positions, rope memories that tighten like the memory of love." They left the painting. She'd tiny buttoned feet that had survived mountains, but he followed her when love would let him move.